episode 12 of the TV Dudes podcast, recorded December 18th, 2014. Mid-season finales and Sony. Man, Randy, we are coming close to the end of the year.
Yep.
And what a year 2014 has been.
And for TV, it's for been an amazing year.
Yeah, it's been great for the rest of the world. Good, some bad.
Not as good. Yeah, probably not as good. But it's, for TV, for pop culture, it's been a good year.
I read on Slate, this is the year of outrages.
Yeah.
Like this year, more than any, it's just been everyone online getting mad about everything and jumping thing after thing after thing after thing.
It's true. In a lot of cases justified. I don't want to bad talk all internet outrage.
No, sure.
But yeah, I've been pretty dumb with internet outrage of late. There's been some stuff I'm like, really, we're gonna get upset about this?
It's internet outrage fatigue. Yeah. Is what I've really been noticing. It's just like I can't stay mad at one thing. Because there's a new thing that's going to pop up and make me even forget about that first thing. Like, wasn't there some, like, CIA thing?
Yeah,
like,
there was
and it's, like,
thing.
Five other things after that. I'm like,
can the we CIA go back thing might actually be legit outrage.
I know. I'm like, can we just go back and focus on that? Remember that?
Yeah.
But speaking of outrage, today on this episode, we are going to be discussing a little bit of the internet outrage, which will be deviating a bit from what we normally talk about TV related, but I think it does have threads that really do relate to the TV industry, and that is the Sony hack and the interview and the whole backlash about that.
Yeah.
We'll be talking about that in our third half. Our second half, we're going to be talking about mid-season finales. We had a couple different shows that all hit their mid-season finale, and in very interesting ways.
Yep.
We're going to be talking a little bit about The Walking Dead, talk about Flash, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., a lot of geeky comic stuff.
Yes, which a lot of comic stuff. Yeah,
was like our fourth or fifth episode of our Two Dude podcast reboot.
And I'll probably throw in a quick thought on the Arrow season mid-season finale, which also was a pretty big deal.
There you go. Yeah. But to kick things off in the beginning, I guess, we are going to do some of our standard iTunes shout-outs and some questions. Greg isn't here yet. He's going to be here in a few minutes, but Randy and I decided to go ahead and kick things off in the beginning. First things first, iTunes shout-outs. So what these people did is they went to the iTunes store, found the TV Dudes podcast, gave us 5 stars in their review, and wrote us a review. And we read that on the show. And we really appreciate you guys doing that. It really helps raise our visibility. We've noticed our traffic actually rising each week. And, I mean, testament to the format and testament to you, the audience, really helping out, going above and beyond for us. It's awesome. We appreciate it. First review comes from Solid Justin. He says, for anyone who loves thinking and talking about TV, 5 stars. What I love about this podcast is its casual hanging out nature. When listening, I can always expect to hear interesting TV-related discussions as well as hilarious conversations. If you like to think and laugh, this is the podcast for you. If you only like one of those things, Randy, nah.
You know what? You can... We're good with people who just want to think or just want to laugh. I mean, you know, if you want to just laugh like a maniac through the entire thing, it's all right with us. Yeah, that's good.
All right. Next one comes from Alexander the All Right, which is funny because I'm listening to this other podcast right now.
Uh-huh.
It's called Hardcore History. Have you ever heard of that?
I have not.
It is fucking awesome.
Okay.
But they're right now talking about Alexander the Great and going through. Actually, no. I'm thinking about Charlemagne, who was called Charles the Great. I deviated a little bit, but I'm really into this podcast. Anyway, he says, the best TV podcast in the universe. 5 stars. I've been a huge fan of TV Dudes ever since they began as a spinoff of Spill.com. They are each hilarious and insightful and give great commentary on the best and worst TV shows on right now. They also have a rare gift of being so personable that it feels like the listener has known them for years. I look forward to each and every podcast and can't wait to continue hearing their opinions, even though Johnny is totally wrong about Hannibal. We agree. That's why we kicked him off. Get out of here.
We're personable.
We're personable.
And we're right about Hannibal.
Get out of here, Johnny. Just kidding. We miss you, Johnny. All right. That is it for those iTunes reviews. But once again, please go do that. It really helps out the show. If you guys have any questions, you're welcome to email them to us at info@thetvdudes.com. We don't have any of those this week, but we do have some news we're going to jump into.
All right. So it's almost all casting news this week.
Almost all casting news.
But that's okay. It's exciting news. Okay, yeah. So Fargo season 2 has added Kirsten Dunst, and I thought this was interesting. All the headlines are calling him Breaking Bad's Jesse Plemons.
Wow.
Because I think of him as Friday Night Lights' Jesse Plemons.
I do, too.
But I guess if you're doing a crime show, you want to reference his crime past.
So,
although I guess he had a crime past on Friday Night Lights, too.
There is this other movie coming out with Jesse Plemons.
Yep.
And, man, I don't remember who else is in. I want to say it's Johnny Depp. And Jesse Plemons put on a ton of weight and looks radically different. Like, he's... like obviously just going method hardcore in his role, and it's fascinating to see because I think this guy is a star just on the complete rise.
I agree.
Jumping from project to project, it was very impressive to see him in Breaking Bad, how well he transitioned into that.
Well, I remember you and I met him right as he was starting Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was the second
season. I think he had just wrapped filming.
And I remember thinking how skinny he looked. I mean, he was a skinny looking dude.
You don't look the same as we remember in Friday Night Lights.
Yeah.
And he went from like the doe-eyed, like good old like everyman.
Yeah.
Everyone loves that character in Friday Night Lights to a fucked up character named Todd.
Opie Hitler. As Jason.
Opie Hitler.
As Aaron Paul's character called him.
Or Meth Damon, as the internet likes to call him. I'm Kirsten Dunst. Is this her first foray
into TV? Kirsten Dunst will play Peggy Blomquist, a small town beautician with big city dreams. And Plemons plays her husband.
Ed. A butcher, huh?
Yeah.
A butcher's assistant.
I feel like Dunst must have done some TV before, but I can't think of any.
See, I can't either, and it's kind of exciting to see her move to the small screen.
Yeah.
That's interesting. This is great casting.
Yeah, and I see also there's a little bit of news about season 2 of Fargo, but we'll probably talk about that when we talk about our upcoming shows.
Which will be in 2 weeks.
Yep.
Episode in 2 weeks, but... exciting casting news for Fargo.
Exciting. Okay. Also, speaking of Breaking Bad casting, Kristen Ritter, who you might remember from Don't Trust the Bee or from
season 2,
choking to death on her own vomit in Breaking Bad. Spoilers.
Spoiler.
She is going to be Jessica Jones.
Now,
Grant, do you know who Jessica Jones is?
Kind of.
Okay.
I know her as an ancillary character in other comics I've read. I've never read, Alias or any of her main line.
Now, of course, they're not going to be calling the show Alias because Abrams.
Abrams, yeah.
I think they're going to call it AKA Jessica Jones, which is actually a good title. The deal with Jessica Jones is she was created by Brian Michael Bendis as a stand-in for Jessica Drew, the Spider-Woman.
Okay.
Who was at that time an ex-superheroine. She'd lost her powers, and she was a private eye. Or no, she had her powers, but she had given up wearing a costume. So she was a private eye, and this was going to be one of Marvel's first Max books, which had cursing and nudity and anal sex, not kidding, all that kind of stuff.
Cool!
And so he did this, and I guess maybe someone at Marvel got gun-shy and was like, you can't use Jessica Drew. So he created Jessica Jones, who had a very similar past. She was an Avenger. She was a superhero named Jewel. And then something happened to her, which I'm sure they'll get into in the show, and she sort of quit and became a private investigator.
So they sort of retconned her as an Avenger from some unknown period?
Yes, she was retconned in as an Avenger during the 80s, I think, although that never really happened.
Okay.
But it certainly can. In the cinematic universe, of course, she probably won't have been an Avenger because the Avengers started in 2012.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, so she's a private eye.
She's a private eye
that formerly had powers and lost them.
Yes, although she has her powers still. She still has some super strength.
She just doesn't
use them.
So it's kind of like, you ever read Ex Machina?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like that guy Mayor Hundy. He gets powers, but instead decides to do something else with his profession.
Yeah, and this is like not so much probably closest is like Terrier's PIs, like down on her luck. Doing sleazy jobs, taking pictures of cheating spouses, all
cheating
that kind
Johns.
Of stuff.
Yeah.
She gets mixed up in some superhero stuff.
And she's notable for being... Is she a member of the Defenders?
No. The Defenders is going to be the title of the miniseries that ties all this stuff together, but not one of these people are Defenders.
Really?
The actual Defenders in the comic is Doctor Strange, the Hulk... Silver Surfer, Namor.
Wow, I thought all of them were. Like, I thought it was Iron Fist, Daredevil, Luke Cage.
Completely different.
Now, she and Luke Cage end up having a relationship.
Yes,
they have kids, they get married, all that, right?
Yep.
Okay. So we could probably expect a little bit of a romantic.
There's definitely going to be cross. I mean, Alias was very much a companion book to Bendis' Daredevil that he was writing at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I can expect that to cross over. Like, she was working as his private investigator. You know, lawyers hire PIs.
Yeah, yeah.
So she was working as his investigator for a while. And I think Luke Cage was working as his bodyguard. And so they were all sort of working with Daredevil. So, yeah, we'll see a lot of intercontinuity between all this stuff. The interesting thing is that Jessica Jones, I always thought of as sort of a 30-some, down on her luck, kind of a little grizzled. Like someone, she'd been through life, you know?
Yeah.
And Kristen Ritter, I think of as a younger, sort of a more ingenue type.
A little bit more bright-eyed, yeah. Aggressive.
And I wasn't sure spunky. About... I'm not sure about the look, but as far as the acting chops, I definitely think she can carry this off.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they'll be able to make the look work. I think she's going to be great. I think it's a really good casting for it.
I think a little what works a little bit in their favor is that it's not as well-known a character, so they can have a little bit more flexibility.
Yeah.
Whereas we have another person that was just cast, apparently.
Yep. You and I both, this snuck up on both of us.
Yeah.
They've cast Luke Cage.
Mike Coulter.
Mike Coulter.
Who I guess is going to be in the new Halo movie, which is kind of a direct-to-video on demand, I think, movie. So it's not like a big Halo movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But he's kind of popped up in a couple different things as a guy and as a big, muscly guy. And
right.
I think he has the look.
Yeah, look, he looks right. I mean, he looks for it.
Yeah.
Terry Crews congratulated him, I'm sure, in a sadness, because I think Terry Crews really wanted to play Luke Cage.
Yeah. But, oh, well, Terry Crews, you're also on a great show right now, yeah. So don't
but
sweat
that's,
it.
That's interesting. So, yeah, that's good casting so far. I don't know if you heard my my dream casting for Iron Fist and Power Man.
Yeah.
I believe that you could take Danny Pudi should be Iron Fist, and Donald Glover should be Power Man.
I think that's hilarious.
Yeah, I don't actually believe that. I posted that, and a friend posted it, and he reposted, like, Randy nailed it. And I'm like, you're going to get me killed. I was kidding.
That was a joke.
That was a joke.
Like, Donald Glover needs to be cast in something else again, or yes. Fan cast in something again. So Iron Fist is kind of the last one, Danny Rand.
Yeah, because we know who Daredevil is.
We were debating about this earlier online,
yes.
About whether or not he needs to be a white character.
And you guys are, and I'm on different sides with you.
And you know, chalk this up to maybe being a little bit less familiar with the character myself. I've read the Immortal Iron Fist.
Yeah.
But I saw that what maybe previously had been more important that he had to be white,
yeah.
Is that he just has to be a wealthy American. He needs to be a little bit out of touch with everyone else,
yeah.
In a certain way. And yeah. I think that what does that is if he's super wealthy. He could be any ethnicity, I think.
Yeah, I think our good friend Jason Murphy, who is Iron Fist fan number one,
sure.
Believes that he needs to be a blonde white guy because that's always been his character. And he wants to see his character realized on the screen.
Mm.
And I totally get that. I am sort of in the middle on this. I think that there's no reason you need to make him Asian. In fact, I think that you're veering a little closer to stereotype if your martial artist hero is an Asian character.
But he gets his power from a place in Asia. Like,
yeah.
He travels to Asia,
yeah.
And gets his power.
Yeah.
He could be Asian.
No, he absolutely could be. And you're right. You can do it. As long as they don't change the character to become basically Shang-Chi, as long as he's not like a guy who is from a Kung Fu dynasty and all that kind of stuff, if he's still basically an Americanized dude who gets dragged into all this martial arts stuff,
mm-hmm.
That's what makes the character work.
I think
ethnicity isn't important.
There's been so much whitewashing of characters. It would be fine to have a little bit of a reversal of that for someone and be like, hey, we're going to cast you a little bit closer to the background of this character.
But that's not otherwise. The background of the character. The background
it could
of the,
be. The I don't think it's no. Such heresy.
The background of the character has to be that he's a rich guy outsider.
He could be a rich guy outsider.
So, yeah, and I agree. As long as you don't make it, like I say, as long as he's a guy who is from, I think he's got to be American. I think
he kind of reminds me of Angel, Warren
yeah.
Worthington.
Yeah. It's that kind of thing.
And he's like this super yuppie rich dude.
Yeah. Well, he's the son of a father who built the company up. I mean,
it kind of reminds me of this guy Bruce Wayne as well. Man, all these ideas.
Yeah, but he's got a sense of humor, so he can't be Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, it's true.
No, I am generally okay with the colorblind casting, and I do think that Marvel, as with everything that was created in the early 50s, 60s, all that, could use some diversity. That stuff is not built in.
Sure, sure.
And so I am totally okay with it, but I don't think there's a petition going that he needs to be Asian. And I think that's going too far. I think that's the crazy internet outrage we've been talking about. Like,
yeah.
No, he doesn't need to be Asian. He can be a white blonde dude if that's who they find. But he also doesn't need to be a white blonde dude.
True, true, true on all accounts. So what else we got?
All right. Well, also on casting, this makes me so excited. Mark Hamill is going to be on The Flash as the Trickster.
And he used to be on the Flash. The 90s version.
As the Trickster, yes.
That's kind of awesome because, I mean, I feel like that guy's career... He kind of disappeared a lot. I mean, he's just been doing some voice acting. Although, I'm like, I want to see him on screen, too.
He did better than a lot of the Star Wars guys. I mean, Carrie Fisher went off her own direction. Hunt, and obviously, Harrison Ford went off his own direction. But Mark Hamill, you know, had a decent career doing various things. He wrote comics. He made a documentary about San Diego Comic-Con. He was famously the voice of the Joker. I feel like he was just kind of...
A geek that kind of faded into the background, and his only celebrity was propped up by his geek community. And
you're
not
wrong.
He never got
an Academy Award or anything like that. You know.
Yeah.
But I think he's done all right for himself in the niche he chose.
Sure.
And yeah, he's definitely coming back. I mean, he's sort of a, as you say, he's been the geek guy. So for him to come around to a point where all of a sudden everything he was a part of is now becoming a thing again. Mm-hmm. So he's going to be the Obi-Wan character in Star Wars. He's going to be, you know, he's going to play Trickster on The Flash. He's got all this stuff that he can do. So it's good for him, this whole geek renaissance. And I'm super psyched that they're bringing him in as the Trickster. I like how much homage the current series has been doing to the previous show.
Yeah.
You know, using John Wesley Shipp as his dad. And bringing in Amanda Pays as her old a version of her old character, which we'll talk about during the mid-season finale. There's a lot of nods to the old show, which I thought was cool and nice. They didn't have to do that, and I thought that was a nice little nod.
Yeah.
And it also happens to be a great show, which makes me happy. So Cuba Gooding's got a new role.
Yay!
Cuba Gooding.
Is that the reaction?
Remember when Cuba Gooding was like going to be like an Oscar winner and all this stuff?
He won an Oscar.
Yeah, remember when we thought that wasn't going to be a one-off thing?
Yeah, and he followed it up with like Snow Dogs, I think.
Yeah. Cuba Gooding needs to fire his agent.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Because of this?
No. This may be the first good role he's picked in a long time, but I'm not convinced. Okay.
This is interesting.
Yeah, this is the American Crime Story, which we talked about a little before.
Ryan Murphy's follow-up to American Horror Story.
Yep. Or companion series, I think.
Companion, yeah.
And it's going to be an anthology. It's a true crime. And the first season is going to be The People versus O.J. Simpson.
And what's interesting about this, on top of all that, of course, mm-hmm. is that... I mean, this is kind of following on the heels of what obviously has been a giant success story is Serial, the podcast. I mean, that's been huge.
Yeah, and HBO has their own riff on that, too.
Kind of thing coming up,
I think we're going to see some of that stuff bleeding in. We'll talk a little bit more Serial in a couple weeks, too.
It just feels like this was great timing for this. Yep. And he's going to be playing O.J. Simpson, which is going to be a big role for him.
Yeah.
I mean, it's funny because O.J. Simpson is like 6'5".
Yeah.
And Cuba Gooding Jr. is probably about 5'.
He's not, yes. Yeah. Sarah Paulson has been cast as Marcia Clark.
Marcia Clark.
So I can see that.
I saw someone championing Guy Pearce being Kato Kaelin. Please, please put him as Kato Kaelin. Honestly, it was Dan Feinberg, but I'm not sure. I thought that was kind of perfect.
So The Walking Dead has cast their lead.
Mm-hmm.
Cliff Curtis.
Cliff Curtis.
Who I don't know.
He was in Training Day. He was kind of the bad guy in that. Okay. He was also in that recent...
He was in Gang Related.
He was the big boss there. I'm excited about that guy. I always think he's so compelling. I like that he's going to be taking the lead in this. And it's going to be set in L.A., which is going to give a lot of a different vibe, I think. Because you're going to be... Instead of this kind of... tough backwoods mentality.
Right.
You're going to have this disillusioned, like out of touch type of audience that's getting killed by zombies.
Yep.
Part of it, I imagine, is going to be a little bit exciting for the audience to just see, die. I mean, that's fucked up to say, but.
Yeah. Well, and it's going to be interesting to see the early days. I think that's going to be really interesting. So.
Yeah, because we jumped in a month.
Yeah.
About a month, I think.
At least. I mean, he'd been in a coma for a little while.
Rick being in a coma.
It was done. The zombies were taken over. That was the way it was. So that'll be interesting. That's something they have not done in the comics at all, is any kind of flashbacks, at least as far as I know.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, Sarah Silverman has a pilot in an HBO. It's a single camera show. Stars her as a pathologically honest woman having a modern midlife crisis.
Pathologically honest.
Okay.
It kind of reminds me of... What was that Ricky Gervais movie? The Invention of Lying.
Oh, yeah. I love that movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Where she's just going to be like really straightforward with people. And I think this would be a good fit if they bring Curb Your Enthusiasm back, because that's kind of the problem with Larry David.
Yeah,
he doesn't have a filter. He'll just say what he feels about people.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this. I think this sounds like fun. It's just a pilot, so it hasn't been greenlit or anything. But
I like Sarah Silverman. I'm excited to see her kind of come back on screen.
I never watched the Sarah Silverman show, did you?
Not a whole lot.
I wasn't crazy about it.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and take a quick break, and then we'll be back with some questions and some DV discussion.
All right.
And Greg.
Yes, I am. Finally.
You made it.
Yeah.
You missed out on a lot of casting news in the news section.
I know.
But we got some questions, listener questions.
I'm here for that, because I actually care about the... Fuck the cast. I care about our listeners.
We care about the people.
I care about our people,
That's
yo.
That's right.
And these people posted on our Facebook page and our Twitter, so if you guys want to like us there, you can also ask us questions. First one comes from Michael Gastini. He says, what character from any show do you feel has the best arc transformation so far this season?
Wait, is that like a new or any show?
Any show this season. So in the 2014 year, what had the best arc?
Who had the best arc?
In Fargo, I think the arc of Martin Freeman's character
was pretty fantastic.
Well, tragic, but fantastic.
Yeah, if you think about also like how far they came. I mean, I like Tom Hanks's character. I mean, Colin Hanks's character was pretty good. How timid he was. He got so scared and he ended up killing.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Spoiler.
It like with Martin Freeman's character, I feel like we got a full. Like Breaking Bad in one season.
Well,
yeah, that's true.
What happened with his wife is what probably drove it to that.
Yeah, Mr. Chips
point.
The Scarface.
Yeah,
really quick.
You know the arc.
It's a phony
scarf. The arc I liked was on Transparent.
Yeah.
The daughter whose name I'm not remembering.
The youngest daughter.
The one who's kind of a mess.
Who drove me nuts.
Yeah, yeah. But her arc, sort of going from, I mean, just seeing her like go through relationships and she, you know, having this. The phase where she dated a trans guy. I mean, there's a lot of interesting stuff in that.
Well, even the arc of Jeffrey Tambor on it was great, because he was all timid and because that was like
being
my
able
favorite,
to come out to his family.
Yeah, but then my favorite part was at the dinner where he lays into her like a father would, it just came. I was like, whoa! I mean, it came out of nowhere. Like he's doing all this stuff, and I thought it was awesome.
What other arc I liked in that show, and is a minor one, is the husband.
Oh yeah, he was great.
Because he's off to the side. Yeah. I forget that guy's in everything. He was in the league this season.
Yeah.
He was a really interesting character arc, because it's just a small one, but he goes from being sort of the nemesis. He's the bad guy of the whole thing.
Right.
And you see, oh no, this guy's life kind of got fucked, and he is trying to deal with it best he can.
Yeah. Yeah.
I also want to say I don't talk about the show a lot, but the arc of Review. The show Review.
Oh, yeah.
where he goes in that
I still haven't watched this, but I know what happened.
That whole show is about his life just descending into chaos, and it's great. So funny.
All for the fans. Sometimes we go too far for the fans.
I'm going to go with an old favorite, too. I like the arc of Don Draper losing it all and having to work for Peggy.
Coming back,
having to work for Peggy and then trying to see if he comes back. Okay,
it was a very humbling season for him.
Yeah, so I actually like that.
I also like Carrie Coon's arc on Leftovers.
Mm.
I thought her character, I don't remember her character name, but she was, I thought watching her go from sort of this mystery woman who's just clearly a kind of a mess to, we get to actually see her like deal with the huge emotional fallout to her, she just started to put her life back together.
Her and Justin Theroux.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Him in kind of denial about what happens and having to come to grips a little bit more emotionally with, yeah, like, you can't just keep pretending that what happened didn't happen.
Right. Right.
And it was great to kind of see him come to grips a little bit, at least with that.
Yeah. And one last pick for me, which is Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Sky went from a character I couldn't stand to a character I really liked.
Yeah. How did that happen? Also, Grant Ward.
Grant Ward.
How did he become so interesting?
Yeah, from one of those wooden heroes to one of the most interesting bad guys.
He has a lot of charm. And apparently, yeah, it's like you unshackle him from a poor writing, yeah, poor role. And, yeah. Wow. We're going to get into that in just a minute, though. Mm-hmm. One more question. Let's go take a couple more questions. Chris Hatfield says, you need a representative that watches Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to field all questions. So what'd you guys think of the big...
we'll get into it.
We're going to talk about that one. He's asking about an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. question. We're going to get into that
representative.
In a minute.
We all watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., except Greg doesn't.
But I just kind of fell out of it, yeah, but I'll get back into it.
You and I have watched it, Randy.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. Yeah.
Alejandro Rey Zapata says, what show had a great mid-season finale, but when they came back, didn't live up to the excitement of the last episode?
Man.
Maybe I might go, because the only shows that do that really are network shows. So yeah. I might go with The Blacklist.
The mid-season finale is kind of a new thing since...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been around maybe like 15 years, if not less.
You know? Yeah, I think because it usually was because of sports, honestly. Because,
yeah, yeah.
You know, baseball had come, or the Olympics had come, or the Super Bowl, so the NFL playoffs. So that's when they kind of started doing that. Or actually, they really kind of started too was with American Idol, because it would kick. Cause American Idol would kick off every January.
Yeah,
and then people would try to ride that wave or whatever.
You know, it's not exactly a mid-season finale, but remember Alias? Back in, I think, season 2, when they just blew up everything right after the Super Bowl episode, like, everything went south. Like SD6 was destroyed. She was working with the CIA now. And then the potential of the show never got back to where they were. I mean, they basically just blew up the whole show and didn't replace anything halfway near as interesting.
Walking Dead.
Ooh.
Walking Dead's done it a few times.
They've done it a lot.
I feel like last season...
Yeah.
Where they were with everything escalating with the prison.
Yeah. Yeah.
Only for it to kind of return back to the prison and then just dawdled for a bit.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's when we were kind of frustrated. And I think that's when we were talking a lot about the weird transition with the showrunner.
Yeah.
And a lot of the debates. I think that's where they kind of got their legs back after that.
The trick is, can they not do that this time? Because they had we'll talk about the finale, but they're definitely not in not coming in a position of weakness.
No.
Hopefully they won't drop the ball returning, but they do that a lot.
Let's go with last question here. Kevin Moreno says, has there been a good show that got picked up for a second season on a network? Has there been a good show that got picked up for a second season on the network? I don't know. I don't think I follow that
on another network.
Maybe he means on a different network.
Not a second season, but I would say I went and watched Damages after I got because it's all on Netflix now. But before it was on Dish Network or something that, and it was still pretty good.
Second season isn't, but shows that have been transferred to other networks: Friday Night Lights,
Arrested Development,
DirecTV. Arrested Development's arguable. I think we all liked it.
Cougartown.
Okay. Well, I would argue Cougartown, yep.
Yeah.
I think it
Netflix has picked up a couple. Arrested Development they picked up for... Mm-hmm. They just picked up another one. Wait. They picked up something
They picked up the
Tina Fey show.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
Which is sort of a different deal, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Netflix has done pretty good rescuing stuff, and DirecTV had too.
And we haven't... And the jury's still out on Community, because I don't think...
Yeah, we don't know how Yahoo's going
to
do with that.
That's true. All right, so a lot of the other questions actually tied into what we're about to talk about in our TV shows, so let's jump into that. Let's go with this question here to lead us in. Chris Hatfield was saying, so what do you guys think about the big reveal in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. involving Sky and her background and the introduction of Inhumans to TV?
I want to know, Grant, do you know who Daisy Johnson is?
No.
Okay.
I now know that it's a character named Quake.
Yes.
Because I read something online. Yep. But I was not really familiar with Quake or Mr. Hyde, her dad.
This is one of those nobody characters. Bendis created her in the late 2000s, early 2000s, I guess, for a series called Secret War.
Okay.
She looks like Angelina Jolie's character from Hackers. It's very much, deliberately looks like Angelina Jolie's character from Hackers.
Gotcha.
Bendis loves to do this kind of stuff. I hated this character.
And she's a hacker.
I hated this character when she showed up. I thought it was a stupid character. And then Jonathan Hickman wrote her in a book called Secret Warriors. where she was a member of the of Nick Fury's sort of S.H.I.E.L.D. team that was going against a Hydra-corrupted S.H.I.E.L.D.
Ah.
And she was pretty good in that. So I like the notion of a character. I mean, it's basically, it's the character in name only. Because in the comics, she's a mutant.
Yeah.
She can't do mutants on TV. But Inhuman is a good, you know, version of it.
So what is Inhuman versus a mutant?
Inhumans get their powers from the Terrigen Mist that's been unleashed. Basically, Marvel, Inhumans have never been what they are now. Inhumans used to be a royal family of aliens who were seeded by the Kree.
Okay.
And
this is deep, man.
And that was
so this is kind of what's going on. It's like the Kree found chosen people.
So what they did, what Marvel's done recently is in an event called Inhumanity, they had the Terrigen Mist. They did this big reveal that the Inhumans had been sleeper agent throughout the human race, and then the Terrigen Mist was unleashed by a bad guy or something, so that now Inhumans can just sort of pop up, which is basically a workaround for mutants. It's so that you can have a guy show up with powers, and you have to go, oh, well, what industrial accident did you have to give you powers? He'd be like, no, I'm just Inhuman.
So there was some gray area around Quake that she could be either a mutant or an Inhuman in the comics?
In the comics.
Because otherwise, I think there'd be a legal thing, right?
In the comics, she's a mutant.
Well, then how could they have access?
She's not an X-Man. She's not related to the X-Men. She never has been.
I guess that's kind of how they work around with having Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch in the Avengers. Yeah,
well, they split that license, but Daisy Johnson has never been anywhere near the X-Men.
So when you heard the name Daisy revealed in the finale...
I knew that's who it was.
You knew exactly.
I also had it spoiled for me.
Oh, did you? Okay.
One, by speculation. There were a lot of people speculating. I'm like, oh, that makes a lot of sense. And two, by someone posting it that night as I was trying to watch the show.
So was there an element of... Kyle MacLachlan's character, is that his name?
Yeah.
That he was supposed to transition into a big hulking Hyde character, and we never got to see that?
In the comics, Mr. Hyde is actually a physically big brute guy.
Oh, okay.
But Calvin Zabo is his name. He invented a serum that gives him superpowers.
Did they ever say his name was Calvin in this?
They said Cal. They called him Cal. And Calvin Zabo is her father. I was guessing from his first appearance that he was Mr. Hyde.
Really?
And then I started thinking, okay, well, maybe he's Maximus because they're tying him into all the Inhumans thing. But then once they started going this Daisy direction, I'm like, okay, that makes sense. He's Daisy's father.
He's her father, yeah.
So... it's weird. It's sort of off to the side Marvel continuity. Like, only the really deep dive are going to know who the hell any of these people are.
Sure.
But it's kind of neat that they're tying them in and doing their own version of it. And this is what S.H.I.E.L.D. should always have been doing, which is to take the C-listers that they're never going to do in the movies and bring in a little of that Marvel Universe flair into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah. It's kind of what they're doing with Flash right now.
Yeah.
So, first off, within that finale... Kyle MacLachlan, I thought, did such a good
job. He was
great.
Yeah, he was
like,
great.
He was channeling all sorts of emotions and just, like, bipolar. Like
the scene with him and Sky was really good.
It was intense.
Yeah.
A lot of that episode was kind of slow, a little bit.
It was.
Pulling teeth, like, just to get to that culmination point.
Yeah.
And that was a little bit frustrating to see. But once it got to that...
Yeah.
It's kind of cool because I'm not sure what the implications are. We now have her as a superhero.
She's got powers.
She's got superpowers.
She has. I mean, maybe she probably won't have full control.
What was Quake's powers?
Quake. She can cause earthquakes.
She can cause earthquakes.
Yeah, she can cause earthquakes.
And that other girl,
Reyna.
Reyna. She's in there.
She's in there. I've heard a lot of people speculating like, oh, well, is she Tigra? Is she all these? She's a new character. I'm almost sure of it. That she's going to be a new character with sort of cat-like features.
Ah.
That's my guess.
Oh, it's not going to be flower-like features? She's not going to be Poison Ivy because she's all about flower shirts?
I don't think so. It looked to me like hair, like whiskers growing out.
And since Trip wasn't a part of that, he's just dead?
Yeah, that's the thing. The Terrigen Mist is poisonous to humans.
Okay.
If you're not an Inhuman, it doesn't unlock latent powers. It kills you instead.
I didn't think they needed to have Trip all of a sudden just walk into a room, except for I guess they wanted to illustrate that this kills a regular human.
My biggest disappointment about the whole mid-season finale was they killed Trip.
Because he was also a great character.
Great character. He was a great
instead of the Australian
Commando.
Guy.
Yeah. But I think the deal is that Trip was never supposed to be an ongoing character. Like, that actor was not supposed to be on for a regular. And they liked him. And they added him on, but I think he probably had other stuff to do. I think it might have been an actor thing. What was really good is that they revealed that Mac was not dead. Because if they'd killed both their black characters at the same time...
yeah.
Uh-oh.
And Mac is a great character. And every time really I look great. At that guy,
yeah.
What a fucking hulking mass that guy is. He is giant.
Yeah, I love that they cast that guy as the mechanic. He's not a guy who could be the big brute. And then so when he gets mind controlled, you see how dangerous he can be.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought that was really cool. I love Mockingbird is actually one of my favorite Marvel characters.
Mm-hmm.
And Adrienne Palicki is one of my favorite actresses. And she has just taken over the show for me.
They did pretty well this season, I think, yep. Or this, I guess it's still just the mid-season finale, yeah. Of building up to the potential of the like where the show could go. And I'm hoping that they don't let up. And I hope that the Flash kind of guides them a little bit more in like showing, hey, show some superpowered people, have more of those interactions, give more fan service. And I mean, people will like it. You're on the right path.
Having full access to Hydra helped a lot.
Yeah.
Being able to use Hydra as the bad guys, which is what they always should have been for S.H.I.E.L.D.'s bad guys are Hydra.
Yeah.
So once that opened up...
I guess they couldn't initially because they needed the big reveal for Winter Soldier,
exactly.
Right?
They couldn't reveal that Hydra was still around.
Yeah.
So that was why the way that did.
They're a little
part of
stilted.
It. But that's a big deal. I couldn't believe they killed off Whitehall so quickly. I mean, just shot him in the head.
Yeah. And Inhumans, I guess, is going to be a tie-in with the third Avengers, Infinity Gauntlet stuff.
Well, no. Inhumans is a separate movie.
Oh,
there's a separate Inhumans movie coming.
Okay, so this is just tying into Phase 3's.
I believe so.
Inhumans.
It looks like they're setting this, they're doing the reverse. Whereas they've usually used the movies to set the groundwork for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., they're letting the TV show do a little of the groundwork, which I think is a really good idea.
That is great.
Yeah.
Hopefully, it draws more people to watching the show.
I think a lot of people wrote the show off and are not, and some of them even came back for the part two of season one and were like, it's still not good enough.
Yeah.
People really need to give the show another chance because I'm not going to call it the best show on TV, the best superhero show on TV.
Sure.
But it's definitely a really good superhero show.
It's making strides.
Yeah, I liked it.
Speaking of superhero shows, let's go ahead and jump over to The Flash then for a little
bit.
That
is the best superhero show on TV.
We got the big reveal.
Yes.
Spoilers, by the way. We're going to go to spoilers on all these.
Spoilers.
But he sure as hell is reverse Flash.
Yeah.
And... they did a little trick in there because they have him battle himself.
Yep.
And you know how that works?
I have a theory.
How does that work?
Okay. So here's what I love about this reveal. They didn't actually tell us everything.
No.
They told us enough that we know he's reverse Flash.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't know what reverse Flash powers are exactly.
What's his end game?
Well,
does he actually care about Flash?
Yeah.
And now, yeah, he's doing some weird stuff.
Here's a little comic book stuff I'm going to bring in.
Okay.
So there is a guy. There's a couple different reverse Flashes. The first one was a guy named Eobard Thawne. He was from the 27th century or something. Someone out there is screeching because I know I got the century wrong. But he came back from the future because he idolized the Flash or he wanted to kill the Flash or something. So he's a guy who came back from the future to be his enemy.
Okay.
That's Eddie Thawne is the obvious nod to that name. Iris's boyfriend.
So that was just a red herring.
Maybe.
Okay.
But then there's another guy named Hunter Zolomon who was a police profiler. He was the rogue profiler. He profiled Flash supervillains. And something happened where he comes wheelchair bound and he gets this power that is not the actual speed power. It is the ability to stop time. So it's like super speed because he stops time and then he moves regularly. So when the reverse Flash says, you know, I'm sort of the reverse powers of the Flash in the show, I think that's what he's referring to. I think he's a natural time traveler. And Hunter was in a wheelchair, just like Wells. And Hunter's weird motivation thing, which I never entirely bought, but I think they may be doing, was he wanted to make Barry a better hero by being a villain. He was going to drive Barry to be a better hero.
Unbreakable.
Which
right?
ties very much in with what Wells has been doing. And he goes back in time and kills Barry's mom to motivate him.
Ah.
So that's
some impetus
all
for
I think ties
heroic
in.
Arc. Yeah, yeah.
So my theory is, and it's always evolving, is that Wells came back from the future using his time travel powers, that he was the reverse Flash who kicked Wells around was actually Wells himself from like the day ahead or whatever, because he can time travel. So he basically was crossing his own timeline.
So awesome we get to talk about all this.
Yes.
Because we get these kind of shows.
And I think that that's what's going on with that, and that his motivation is he's trying to save Barry from himself, like make him fast enough that he doesn't die in the crisis or something like that. So he's a villain, but his goals are a little murky, you know?
Yeah.
I love, there's so much fan service in this thing. He has costume in the ring, which is a Flash thing. Flash
yeah,
puts his
yeah,
costume
yeah.
in the ring.
Or the ring powers the opens up the door or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, but no, his costume was in the ring because he put his ring in that thing. He put his ring in the little portal and the costume came out.
What?
Yeah.
I must have missed that. I thought the costume just kind of turned or opened or
the
whatever.
Costume came out onto the dummy.
Oh,
it was
boy.
A total reference to the Flash ring.
We also got to see Firestorm pop up.
Yes. And he flew. So happy when he flew.
And that guy is, the thing about him is that there's someone else's mind inside of his body, right?
Yes. Because he says,
I'm not that guy.
I'm not Ronnie.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been talking about this with some other people, and yeah, my interpretation of that is that Ronnie's gone. Like it's the other guy in charge. Now the question is, in traditional comics, Ronnie and Raymond Stein, the professor, they're merged, and it's Ronnie's body, and the Stein sort of advises him.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they may be going another way because they did another Firestorm with a guy, a black kid named Jason Rush.
That's right.
Who became the other half of the Firestorm. And they've cast that, and I'm wondering if they're going to go some sort of darker route where Ronnie actually died, and Firestorm is his body with Stein in it, and then Rush is going to become the other part of it. So there'll be like two guys in a body that's basically so Ronnie will be essentially dead, but his body will be there as the basis for Firestorm.
For room for two other people?
Yeah, that'd be messed up, and I think that might be what they do.
Wow.
So I don't know. That's another theory. They also, I love that they had him fly. That made me sue. They had him rescue him. That was super cool. I'm liking what they're doing with that so far. I love that he told Iris that he was in love with her.
Yeah.
I love that they finally got to that.
And this is just the first half of the first season.
Mm-hmm.
They are just advancing through plot lines.
Huge.
They're not wasting time. They're moving at the speed of a flash.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
They also, by the way,
couldn't
revealed...
couldn't even make that joke. It's so cheesy.
They revealed that the Flash was there the night his mom died.
Mm-hmm.
They showed the other day... And that there was always red lightning in there. But so, obviously, Flash time travels to try and save his mom.
Yeah.
And saves himself. He's the guy who runs his own younger self out of the street, right?
Oh, yeah.
So... all kinds of stuff.
Unless the other guy, the other guy would be invested as well. In
maybe. I don't know. I'm wondering if Barry realizes he can't save his mom and saves himself.
Interesting.
But all kinds of cool stuff going on. Interpersonal stuff too, because the scene with him and his dad was really touching and really well done.
Mm-hmm.
The scene with him and his adoptive dad, Joe, was real. Anytime those guys are together is really good.
Yeah.
Amanda Pays comes in playing Tina McGee, who was the scientist from the 90s Flash.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So she's playing that character, but obviously in an alternate world. Like there was no Flash in this world.
Yeah.
But she's playing an older version of that character who's developing time travel technology. So many cool nods. And so much fun to watch. The special effects were great. The racing and the battles and all that were really well done.
Yeah.
I love this show. And
they're
I think
doing so well with this. Now, I didn't watch The Arrow.
Yeah.
But I know that would be the next logical step here.
Yeah.
This has Ra's al Ghul pop up.
Yes, it does. And a pretty surprising ending, which I don't know if you've been spoiled on that.
I'm sure he dies.
Yes.
He's got to be resurrected in the Ra's al Ghul pit.
That's
right?
The guess.
Lazarus.
Well, they end the mid-season with Ra's al Ghul stabbing him through the heart and pushing him off a cliff.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a big duel, and Ollie loses because he's just Ollie, and this is Ra's al Ghul, and Ra's al Ghul's been around for hundreds of years.
Yeah.
He kicks his ass, basically.
So, and that's a mid-season.
They reveal who killed Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
I won't reveal who that is. And that leads to Ollie confronting Ra's al Ghul. So, yeah, there's the Atom is probably going to pop up. They've shown a suit that he's going to be using.
And it's assumed that, part of why they leave the title Arrow is that they're going to have Red Arrow assume the role of Arrow, right?
I'm guessing that Red Arrow, or Arsenal, as they call him Arsenal, that's his code name, and Adam are going to be running the show for a few weeks while Ollie is dead.
Yeah, before he gets resurrected.
Before he gets resurrected. Yeah, man. Nobody thinks he's going to stay dead.
So you think that one is also really great?
It's really good. It's not. I wasn't as impressed with it as I was the Flash finale.
It's not living up to the Flash is.
The Flash has set
already.
The bar.
Really?
Yeah. The Arrow. I really liked this season, but I think season two it had sort of hit a stride that it has not quite gotten back this season. There's too big of a cast, too many supporting cast members, and I think they could probably sort of pare it down. And a couple of their actors, the guy who plays Arsenal and the girl who plays his sister, or the girl who plays Laurel, his sort of former love,
are boring.
I wouldn't go so far as boring, but
I would. I saw them in that one crossover episode. Boring.
They are not up to the task of keeping up with the rest of the cast.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the roles they're playing are really big. And
I wasn't really impressed with Stephen Amell's character.
I like Stephen Amell.
He's just one note angry, it seems like, all the time. Like,
I've heard people who don't like Stephen Amell's acting. Don't like Stephen Amell. I actually think Stephen Amell's really good in that show.
Okay.
So,
all right. And Walking Dead also hit its mid-season finale.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Greg?
Yes, it did.
You've had to be quiet because you don't watch other shows. Yeah.
I mean, that's cool.
But you've seen Walking Dead. What'd you think?
I loved it. I really did. I loved the way, I loved the intensity of it. Even though you can kind of see where, you knew there was somebody who was going to die. You knew there was going to be some kind of showdown. But the way it happened in a hallway.
Spoilers, ladies and gentlemen. Sorry. Spoilers. No.
It's not really a spoiler because Walking Dead posted a picture of it before it aired on the West Coast.
Very true.
And spoiled me.
Yeah, they did. Wow. They fucked up.
They had to apologize for it.
Wow.
They posted a picture of Daryl carrying Beth out of the hospital.
You can't.
And it says, RIP Beth.
Yeah.
And then one of my friends reposted it, and I saw it as I was watching the show.
Yeah,
I'm learning not to scroll through Facebook while I watch shows.
Before
it even aired on the West Coast.
No, see, now that's a spoiler.
Yeah.
That is really a spoiler.
Oh, my God. Greg admitted there was a spoiler.
something that's been out for 2 years.
Mark this day, ladies and gentlemen.
But before it airs... No, that's a spoiler. That's reasonable.
You know you got it fucked up if Greg's like, "Hey, man, that's a spoiler."
No, that's a total spoiler.
What'd you think? Yeah,
I actually thought the opening scene of that episode was brutal. I never. I mean, he runs what was down the opening the car scene?
When he runs down the cop.
When he runs the cop down, breaks his back, and just leaves him. I was like, God damn, where is this gonna go? Because
He shoots him in the head.
He does him
the honor of at least killing him right
now. Yeah, but I didn't expect that, and he just kind of what the fuck? And just
no second chances.
Yeah, I mean, I was like, okay, this is gonna be intense. I liked the arc of the season. Liked it where it went. I mean, the Beth thing. I felt bad that she was killed. I know they're trying to build more empathy for her character. Yeah.
But she was a little bit expendable.
Yeah, but she was expendable.
As far as the characters, like,
right.
I'm like, don't kill Daryl.
Don't you
kill Carol.
I have to admit that I totally forgot that she was
Maggie's sister.
Maggie's sister.
You know, I saw a lot of people complaining about that. Just sort of wrote her off and didn't talk about it at all.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, wait. Fuck, you're her sister, so we're gonna need you to like act emotional real quick.
Yeah, that was kind of a weak thing, but I mean, because the show had got so convoluted that I actually and they were so separated all the time that I totally forgot that. Now, if they had done more with that, or maybe just some flashbacks with her and the father,
I think that's a fair criticism.
That would have been kind of cool, you know?
Because we need in this show is more emotional pain.
Well, no, I mean, it just would have. I mean, they've done that before, which I liked. They did it with Michonne, which I liked, you know, when he showed her life before.
Yeah.
That's the one. But other than that, I'm about ass kicking. If your show is ass kicking and it's just badasses going against each other all the time, I want to see that. So I thought it was great. It's back. It's definitely back.
Yeah, it is. I was a little let down by the midseason finale, and then for one thing I got spoiled. For another thing, I did feel like it was not as amazing as the rest of the season has been, but it was a good finale, I thought. And there's a lot of interesting stuff going on with those characters.
Yeah.
In one aspect, I feel like they hyped up what was going to be a big battle.
Yeah.
And then it kind of culminated in just a negotiation in a hallway.
Yeah.
And then tragedy.
But I like that, actually, because after a while, I kind of like that you're trying not to have the big battle, but the tragedy, the impact of it seems to be even more because you thought, okay, they negotiated, something's going to happen, but maybe nothing that big. And then when it happens, I think it added more weight to it. Which, again, I think if they built it up more, you wouldn't have had to do that, and you could have had a big battle, but I don't know.
Am I the only one who thinks the priest story is kind of boring?
I don't understand it.
I don't get what they were doing. I mean, the whole point, he was in the comics,
but he was.
The whole point was that he wouldn't let people in, and they let him in, and they're better people.
Yeah,
but
that's...
But I'm like, that was a long way to go to get to that point, and I wouldn't have let him in.
Right.
I don't know,
it was weird because that wasn't developed enough for me.
I don't feel like the actor, you know, he was great in The Wire.
Yeah, the actress from The Wire. I mean,
and I'm just you're not really making me give a shit about your character.
I agree.
I don't know if that's his fault.
Now I don't quite understand where they're going to go with, I'm forgetting the name, you know, the guy who faked being the guy with the cure.
Not Elliot. Yeah, the guy with the mullet, right. Scientist.
Like, I'm not quite sure where they're going to take that. I like the fact that he was a fake, and they had, and it kind of,
yeah,
it kind of just
Eugene.
Had that, yeah, they had that kind of major, like, emotional, this, what the fuck are we doing?
So, and then Abraham and just beat the shit out of him.
Right. Which I thought, okay, I probably would too. I could see why Abraham is pissed.
Yeah.
But they showed, like, the whole reason is that, like, he was about to kill himself.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this was the one guy who gave him hope.
Yeah.
And it was all a lie.
Oh, yeah.
He stopped him from doing it, just like brought all that pain back. I thought it was great how they showed that.
Yeah, yeah. That was really, really good. I've seen some people argue that Eugene, basically, because he had the mullet and he always seemed a little slow, that nobody should have ever bought him as a scientist. That maybe he should have been a more convincing scientist, would have been a bigger swerve.
You say that, but what was that that dude who just landed on the asteroid?
Yeah.
And he was wearing the lady geek Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah. I never bought that argument. I'm like, come on, he could be a scientist. And especially in this world, he could have been a scientist.
He could be hee-haw scientist. Yeah. Sure, why not?
But yeah, I thought, Greg, if I had said to you a couple of years back,
you know where
we're gonna be able to find all your Wire actors?
Yeah,
it's on a show about zombies.
I would say that makes sense because they were dealing with hopheads all the time. So,
seriously, this is where the Wire actors go to work,
which is great. If I see Sonia Son on there, it'd be awesome.
Oh my god, that'd be amazing.
Yeah,
where does this show go from here?
I don't know.
I am kind of forgetting the last scene. So, like, the Eugene crew meets up with them at the end, right? Yeah, obviously.
Yeah. They're all together now.
So, I mean, and then I guess that's kind of like, I did kind of like, wait, how do they know to go back to that hospital? You know, I kind of lost track of that.
They went
back to the church.
The church
and met up with all of them.
Right. And Michonne then, and them knew where to go.
They were like, hey, they're over at this hospital.
So, the whole gang is together again for the first time in a season, basically.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know where they go from here. We're past where I go in the comics.
But wait a second. Now there's a guy that's roaming around.
Morgan.
Morgan's roaming around.
He is from the very first episode.
Exactly. You know, I guess they brought him back because it did, as a repayment for having to do that stupid what was that AMC show? It was terrible.
Oh, yeah.
He was in Low Winter Sun.
Yeah.
I said, we're sorry, man. We're really
Lenny
sorry.
Lenny James. And this was the whole that was the end stinger, is that he goes into the church and finds, Rick has been around.
And he's been tracking them. I mean, we saw him in a stinger in the season four.
And
season
exactly Rick too. Last we saw, beat him up, right?
Yeah, no, it was bad.
So he's kind of like not happy with Rick, right? They're not necessarily on good terms.
We'll see.
Although he did have a psychological break, and so Rick kind of had to beat him up.
Yeah,
get your shit together.
I don't know. I'm interested. Grant, you're behind in the comic too, right?
I am.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you and I are both in same with Greg. We're in uncharted territory.
I'm not sure where they want to go. I mean, I know another storyline they could go to.
Oh, okay.
If they wanted to,
I don't know any of that stuff.
It doesn't seem necessarily right for the tone for right now.
Yeah.
They might.
By the way, I want to put a quick plug in for another podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Aisha Tyler's.
Yeah.
Did I mention this before?
No. Well, I listened
to
her.
She does Girl on Guy.
Yeah, yeah.
She did Scott Gimple, the showrunner for Walking Dead. She talked to him. And she does like hour and a half long interviews, really good questions. And that guy is a full-on fanboy nerd. He's got some nerd cred.
So he knows what he's doing.
He knows how to tell a story. And if you liked what's going on in Walking Dead, listen to that podcast because it will just restore your faith that, okay, somebody who should be in control of the show is in control of this show.
Awesome.
Like, he was a fan. He was buying the comics before he got the job.
No, that's good. That's good.
All right, guys, we're going to go ahead and take a little bit of a break, and then we're going to be back to talk about something a little bit different.
I'm so wrong, Reed.
We'll be right back.
So there's no point in ever making anything controversial medium ever again.
You just got to run it by North Korea first.
Apparently.
Yeah.
We are in the clutches of North Korea.
There have been some fucked up stories in 2014.
Yeah.
And this year is ending really badly.
Yeah.
Like just general news wise. And weirdly, from
the protests.
From all the African American, the crime stuff with the cops, which was bad. And all of a sudden, Obama says, fuck it, Cuba. We want to normalize relationships with you, which is going to be a big fucking deal.
Yeah.
I thought that was good news.
That's good news. It's a bright spot.
Awesome.
But that's a whole other show, the political ramifications on both sides
of
that.
You can listen to the political dudes
right,
for that.
18 months they've been negotiating that one.
Yeah. And then you got the crazy shit in Pakistan, which is nuts.
That is tragic.
You've got this, when it first came out, the Sony hacking story, it was kind of funny and goofy.
It was like, these executives are getting their shit.
Assholes. Making fun of Obama. Did you see the latest one? We're talking about Denzel Washington and not casting him in The Equalizer because he was black.
Oh, man.
The
funny thing is, did anyone in this room not know that the executives at Sony were douchebag, racist assholes?
Of course they are.
They're producers.
And they pay their females a lot less.
They're producers in studios. They're douchebags.
Then it got crazy.
Nothing was that surprising.
No.
Except for that Sony might work a deal with Marvel.
Yeah,
with Spider-Man. That was the only part where I was like,
I think that's more likely now.
Yeah,
I also read a little bit of a story about them there being potential collusion with politicians to go after Google.
Yep.
AKA Project Goliath.
Of course. Yeah.
That one might justify the media rifling through all of the stuff that the hackers gave us.
Well, that's the thing. I've seen people say, well, the media was complicit in this because they took this information.
Aaron Sorkin said this quite a few times.
Well, but Aaron Sorkin's a crazy person who doesn't know how the internet works.
Exactly.
I don't buy that. I think that's bullshit. I am not an information should be free guy. Nope. I am definitely a guy who thinks that, I'm not a hacking fan. I'm not a fan of hackers.
But at the same time,
this was news. This was legit news.
Yeah.
True. And that's what differentiates it from like all those nudes being leaked to the celebrities.
Who cares?
That wasn't news.
That's actually invasion of privacy. That's a different thing.
This is also an invasion of privacy.
It's corporate privacy, and who gives a shit?
Well, I mean, there are certain
like
for instance, if you went back to Cuba, like if somebody was exposing that shit before it was ready to go,
they could screw things up really badly.
So, I mean, I get both sides, but then it got crazy with. Now, at first, I thought it was a joke.
Yeah.
About okay, we're going to do a 9/11 in the theaters. I'm like, okay, that seems that seems kind of odd. Wow.
Yeah.
How did that happen? And then, this is the part I don't understand. How did they make it really credible?
Well,
that's the thing.
There's enough, I guess there's enough smoke there that they're like, Sony's just covering their ass. They know, devil's advocate position first before we get to the position I think we're all going to come to, which is that Sony is looking and saying, okay, if something happens in the theater during Christmas,
that is bad.
We don't want this liability.
We don't want the liability.
Right. So what they did was say, hey, theaters, if you don't want to show it, you don't have to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good decision.
Theaters,
that's safe.
They put the responsibility on the theaters. Theaters bailed out.
Right.
It first was, what's that one called that I've never heard of, actually?
One of the chains.
I guess it's some northern one.
Yeah.
They did it, and then all of a sudden, the other big four, Cinemark and AMC and some other
Nobody wants the liability.
I'll also jump ship.
And I understand that too, but what I don't understand is how they're like, okay, we're not going to release it. I'm like, what is that?
Why don't they just release it on Amazon or
release it instantly?
I read why they didn't do that.
Why?
The prevailing idea is that it was insurance reasons.
Oh, okay.
The movie was insured,
so
that if it doesn't get released, they get a certain payout back.
If
they released it, even on video on demand,
they might not get them.
I mean, they probably would have because you look at the tide of how everyone is so eager to see this just to say fuck you, North Korea.
Yeah.
Then they would have made their money probably.
But they were
skittish on the idea, and they can recover a good sum by just.
I'm going to guess that if you want to see the interview, you can probably see it right now by going to any number of torrent sites.
It's not up yet.
Really?
Not yet.
Kind of surprised.
But it is surprising because
it got screened at a bunch of places for the press.
And how? And I guess they didn't have a copy of that movie, so that never got released. You know what I mean? Yeah. In the hack, which is interesting.
I mean, there's a number of... why would the hackers want to release the movie?
So they're
Korean hackers now.
Right, which is And then they're not going to show Team America either because of that.
Paramount decided they didn't want to show.
So fill everyone in on what's going on with Team America.
Yeah. So the Alamo Drafthouse and probably other places, but the Alamo Drafthouse, which is awesome, they were like, well, we're just going to show Team America.
It's our movie theater here in Austin.
They were going to show Team America as sort of a fuck you to North Korea.
Because the interview was taken off the market.
Yeah.
Didn't have access. So they're like, fine, we'll show
Team America. Which
because
also
that has Kim Jong-il being assassinated.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And then Paramount, the studio, said, no, you can't do that.
And I'm not really sure why.
I'm not sure how that's legal. Well, it's released and out. How can they tell them what not to show?
Now, okay, let's...
I mean, they have
now, ownership. Let me think about
give them
this.
A print? I don't know.
Now...
They can sue them.
Devil's advocate. Now, if North Korea put out a movie where Obama got shot in the face, even if it was a joke, how do you think Americans would take?
Well, freak
how
the
do you
fuck
think,
out.
Wait. How do you think like non Tea Party Americans would take? I think Tea Party Americans would be like, I think they're probably working with North Korea to actually put that
non Tea Party Americans. Yeah. I think most of us would be like, well, that's fucked up.
So,
but we wouldn't. And
yes,
we wouldn't attack them. We wouldn't
that's
be like,
right. We wouldn't hack them. We wouldn't.
Government wouldn't be involved. Right. I mean.
But I mean, you know what it is? You know? I mean, how old is he? He's like, what, the leader now? He's like 20 or something?
Well, he's obviously insecure, yeah.
Well, yeah, he's a pussy.
He's probably got a small penis.
He's a pussy. He took it personally. He can't take a joke.
I'm just hoping to increase our North Korean audience a little bit here if we can get some controversy.
So he threw a tantrum. And it just happens when he throws a tantrum, he has nuclear weapons. So
he doesn't have nuclear weapons.
Right, he doesn't have nuclear weapons.
That's
but
the thing.
There is no credible threat.
This is North Korea. They can't get a rocket off the ground.
Yeah, you're right.
If Putin had been upset, I understand. That's different. There's a legitimate threat. This is North Korea.
So the hackers are North Korean.
Yeah. Well, at least a part of them.
Were they hired? See, this sounds like a Bond movie.
Yeah.
Because they could be like freelance guy or 24 movie. Yeah. The last 24, where you know the hackers that, you know, that was part of the plot in the last 24.
Yeah.
That they get hired by North Korea and then they do all this shit and then
Jack Bauer is going to kick in the door and kill him.
He's kicking the door and kill all the guys.
Well, there were a lot of people. I've seen some people saying, well, this says this. This could be a publicity stunt by Sony.
No.
Like that.
No.
But not now. At this point, no, there's no way.
How could none of that shit be?
Part of me was thinking, what if the government is close to catching them?
Yeah.
And so they said,
just delay it.
Sony, we need you to do something that's going to be detrimental initially to your public cred, but how much more worse could it get?
Yeah.
Pull back from that and then. Hey, Paramount, also, we need you to also pull that because we don't want to provoke right now. We want to give them a sense of victory because we're getting close to luring
them
That is the only way this will turn out okay.
Maybe,
which is usually, I mean, that's, you know, when cops back off of something, that's definitely a tactic when you're trying to get people.
But the ramifications, like, overall, the ramifications of what this message sends to the rest of the world, to us, to society, about freedom of speech.
Yeah.
We are supposed to be all about America's biggest thing is like freedom of speech. We can say what we want. We can be who we want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And us having to pull back on that.
I find it out
of fear is
that's
bad
up.
Precedent.
It's really messed up.
But is it because of what happened in Australia, right?
Australia.
Because of that kind of weird kind of timing, like something, I mean, that has nothing to do with it, but that kind of
popped
up.
What happened in Australia?
The mass shooting.
Oh, okay.
You know, where the guy, you know, some kind of...
Not even a mass shooting, it was a hostage
situation. Yeah, hostage situation. He died, and I think a couple people died. But that kind of fear of every day. Also, happened...
We had the shooting in the theater in Colorado.
In Aurora.
But that's in America. We have shootings all the time.
Right, but, I mean, do they... I mean, did they have to have risk analysis people for this? And I'm thinking, do they really think that's a real possibility?
Yeah, was it a credible threat?
I mean,
and maybe they did. Maybe they know. Maybe they know something we don't.
But I mean, that would be something totally different with North, because we've never had terrorists from North Korea.
No.
You know what I mean? And they're not going to farm out to like ISIS or Al-Qaeda to do that because it's just too logistically complicated.
What's clear is that we don't know the whole story.
Right.
So we're probably never going to know the whole story.
There's something weird going on because I just cannot, because I totally agree. It was like, listen, if we can drop drones on people and torture people and have a vice president say, that's not torture.
Yeah.
And you're going to be afraid of some punk in North Korea?
Right.
Really? Come on. Yeah. I mean, that's just...
Something else must be going on.
It's just it's a weird thing. It's just...
How much does this open the door is my concern.
No, that's the thing. I don't think it
Well,
does.
It already has, though, because there's supposed to be a North Korea movie starring Steve Carell.
Yeah.
And they already had to pull back from shooting that at all. They're afraid to make that. Yeah. It's too controversial now.
That is so strange.
Isn't it?
Boggles my mind because it's a small country that you're just basically waiting for people there to say, I'm done with this shit and get rid of this guy.
Yeah.
And they have no nukes, they have no power, but we're afraid. I mean, if it was like ISIS or some Islamic movie or some shit about what's going on in Homeland now, I would like, okay, that, you know, I would be a little worried. I could understand that fear, but North Korea?
Yeah.
I don't get it.
It's like I say, there's clearly something we don't know, but it is a weird, the real issue here is not about the specific movie, it's not about the interview, it's about what it says about art and... What it means to say, okay, we'll make what you tell us to make.
How does this change the landscape for TV if we want to run this thread back to us?
But the thing is, though, let's look at this. It's like, who else is going to have the money or the impetus to hire hackers to go after a company?
Right.
So, I mean, because like, okay, we can do stuff with ISIS. I mean, they might try to manual bomb stuff, but they don't have hackers going after Showtime. You know what I mean?
No, here's the scary part.
Yeah.
What if some corporation decides they don't like how they're being portrayed in a movie or in TV, and they hire some hackers?
I mean, but that's always, I don't know. I mean,
you know, the message that has been sent is, if you don't like what we're doing, send in some hackers, embarrass us, and then make some threats, and we will back off.
Well, I mean, that's always the kind of thing with anything where it was like even political parties or like the obvious ones was Nixon, obviously with Watergate, they were breaking into the Democratic thing to try to get some stuff on him, or like, trying to think, you know, or like what even like on the left when, who's the porn guy that's always paying people to say, hey, give me $1 million if you slept with Rick Perry or something like that.
Larry Flint.
So you've always got those rabble rousers who, if you don't like a certain, they don't like a certain agenda, they'll pay to try to get some dirt.
Yeah.
And it really often doesn't really happen. But this thing with North Korea, I just think it shouldn't be a blanket. People shouldn't be afraid because this is an extraordinary thing. I mean,
it's hard to ask someone else to have a backbone on something like this, I guess, because there is a risk factor. They don't want to be liable if in the event, maybe even not North Korea, but someone else capitalizes on the opportunity and takes advantage to
look at
don't know.
Look at Aurora, all right? I mean, that was a terrible tragedy, but it's not like anybody got sued, did they? I don't know. Like,
no, but that wasn't directly. No, that wasn't.
Yeah, you can't blame it on a theater, or you can't really blame it on The Dark Knight or Chris Nolan.
I think the devil's advocate question to ask is it worth someone getting killed over the interview? That's the easy question to ask, and you can say, oh, well, that's why we pulled it, because ultimately this is a comedy, and not releasing this one comedy, and if that saves one life, is worth it. Yes, you can make that argument, but then you've got to
get an
argument.
On the flip side,
is art important enough for people to lay their lives down for?
Yes.
And it should be. Yeah. And that's
and
the
people
problem.
Were people knew the threat risk and were going to go see a movie. Yeah.
This is a microcosm. It's not about the interview. It's not about that show. It's about what do we say when someone says, I don't like what you're saying in your art. Therefore, don't put it out or I'll hurt you.
I think for Sony, I think this is more of a special case because Sony just is having a terrible, terrible, terrible time with it, and they kind of have to end it somehow. So I think it should be isolated to Sony because think about like the documentary people that go in and do shit like this all the time, or Vice. They're
if
not
the movie
stop.
Theater people hadn't backed out, I don't think Sony would have.
Well, they definitely don't want it. I mean, they do not want a bomb going off Christmas Day in your movie theater.
They backed out, and then it was just a monetary liability for Sony with little return.
And for the theaters, it's not going to really cost them any money. Because
it could have been such an interesting video on demand test case.
They should have done it. And from what I've read, it's not that good anyway.
They want their money.
I've heard it is good. I heard it's good too. It's hilarious.
I thought it wasn't. I thought I saw something that said
everyone I saw who read saw it.
Yeah, that's the gift. Like you say, Grant. I think Sony's in a, this is, I mean, Greg's got a point. It is probably a limited case in that this was Sony. They were getting their asses kicked in the media anyway. The last thing they needed was more headaches, and they wanted the sure thing money, which is the insurance money.
But doesn't it just suck?
It does suck.
Have the liberal Hollywood elite also be spineless pussies?
Yes,
who won't stand up for freedom of speech.
But let's think about.
Come on, you don't.
Yeah,
the other side's just gonna be like, yeah, I knew it.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm gonna be like, yeah.
But now you can analyze the way they think and then where they act. They're a bunch of fucking assholes.
Yeah.
I mean, they're assholes about with their actors, they're assholes with their staff, they're assholes with everybody.
They're going to make money off of everyone using the line in a movie, we do not negotiate with terrorists. Yeah. But they won't use that themselves.
Well, they're bullies. The people running Sony are bullies. They're bullies to actors. And when you go up to a bully and punch them in the face, 9 times out of 10, they back off. And that's the hackers basically punched the bully Sony in the face because they probably saw all this shit.
But the hackers, that's true.
But I mean, it's like they saw this shit, saw this stuff. It was like, man, these guys are real dicks. This is crazy. Because I think I'm of the belief, and this is my philosophical thing, and this is why I don't get bent out of shape out of privacy a lot anymore. I just don't, because I'm like, first of all, there's really nothing I have on the internet that I wouldn't tell anybody anyway, because I still do believe if you don't want something, you still have to put your fingers into something and type into it. You don't
have to. Slippery slope, Greg.
No, I'm just saying this is my personal philosophy. So if there's something I really don't want to say, I don't put it out there. I just talk to the people. That's just me personally. Now, like, I don't mind. Like, do I mind if the government had my phone number in a big bin of numbers looking for something that might stop a terrorist attack if I was on the subway in New York? Personally, it doesn't bother me.
Man, you love Jack Bauer.
No. Because I was actually, because in 95, there was a plot in 95, okay? So, but the only reason why I didn't go off, and this was in New York, is that one of the guys turned the rest of the guys in. They were in Brooklyn. I was on the fucking train. You're going to blow up Atlantic Avenue Station, which is a big hub. It's huge, big story. I was late to work for like a trip that took like a half an hour, took 3 hours. And we're like, what the fuck's going on? We get there, and then this is before the internet, so you had to actually listen to the radio. So I was like, oh, wow, they caught that? Well, that's a pretty good thing, because I probably would have been caught up in it. So, and then plus, I had my first girlfriend was in the first World Trade Center that was bombed in 93. So I'm all about reasonable lines of protection. So when it comes to some privacy, I'm kind of like, I can live, you know, if I'm not doing anything bad, it doesn't bother me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just got to worry about actually just walking down the street with cops stopping me anyway. So this personally doesn't bother me, but, it is a dangerous precedent. And, I just can't see another situation where these hackers would go after a company and make a company look this bad.
I don't know. They've been incentivized now.
Yeah, I mean, what are you going to go after? Like a fracking company? We all know their ass. You're going to go back.
We already see these other movies in the work where hackers are going to have potentially more power, and you leave it to. It's probably because of the whole WikiLeaks thing.
Yeah,
it's like hackers can suddenly release information and. Right. Change the world.
Yeah,
I mean that could arguably be linked to a bunch of revolutions in the Middle East that changed political climate.
But how?
Similarly, this is now made America cow in a way.
No, I don't think it made America cow because it wasn't our government. It made Sony cow. That's the other, and which is not an American.
It's going to be looked at as American.
No, but it's not, because Sony, first of all, is a Japanese company, so it's not us. Made Hollywood. And it made specifically Sony, not America. We don't.
But it was an American Hollywood movie.
Here's what it means for entertainment,
though.
Yeah,
but it's not. It means the government.
It means that people are going to be skittish greenlighting projects like this.
But they already have been for other stupid reasons anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, if you think about it.
I don't know. It seems to me like the more cowardice you introduce into the studio elite, which already they have plenty of that, the more danger there is that good stuff never gets in the pipeline.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, interesting discussion. And
I think we solved it.
We would like to know what you guys think.
Yeah, stand up. Don't be pussies.
Yeah, granted, we're recording this on Thursday, the 18th, and this is released on the
19th. Before the North Korean War started.
So we don't know what may come about by the time you guys
listen to
this.
Before the North Koreans sent their Terminators in.
Shit.
Yeah, these guys. My thing is, fuck them, do it anyway. But in case they hack it, try to keep some shit that you don't want in your emails out and just maybe write a letter or something. Don't put stupid shit where people can read it, you know? That's
good advice.
That's essentially what I'm trying
also
to say.
Don't say something in secret that you're too afraid to also say to someone's face.
Also, yes. Make sure and check your ceilings because the North Koreans have robot assassins in all of our houses.
I hear they're adapting Red Dawn to TV.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. All right, guys. Thank you for tuning in once again to the TV Dudes. Give us that 5-star rating on iTunes. It really does help out the show. And send us your questions. Like us on Facebook and on Twitter. And we got a 2015 preview coming up in a couple weeks on our next episode. That'll be a lot of fun. We'll also hopefully have some special guests rolling in for the next few episodes. Thanks again, and we'll see you in 2015. TV Dudes out. Amen.